generally, we see businesses look at their IT teams and ask them to complete initiatives that they don't have the bandwidth to do because their job is in the day-to-day activities of those businesses. And a lot of those IT folks don't feel it's safe to ask for help. They view that as a, I'm saying I can't do this versus, you know, or I'm unable to versus I don't have the time. And so that's where having a partnership can really accelerate that technology adoption.
Welcome to the latest episode of Unraveling IT, Expert Tech Talks. I'm Garrett Wiesenberg, Director of Solutions Engineering here at Corsica Technologies, and I'm sitting down today with the CEO, Brian Harmison, and COO, Peter Rodenhauser, to dive back into AI strategy. We know AI is everywhere, but the question isn't really what is AI, it's how to use it. Today, we're breaking down how businesses can step into AI in an effective and a meaningful way.
Thanks, Garrett. Yeah. One of the things we hear all the time is my business, you know, we want to do AI. How do we get started? Or we know we need to get into AI. What everyone is asking about now is how do I practically use it within my business? It might be helpful for us to kind of define some of the terms that we're going to use today.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the things that we often hear is we want to implement some AI in our business. And you know, the first question we ask is, well, what does that mean for you? What are you trying to solve? And I see a lot of confusion between AI and automation. And automation is just, you know, the things we've done in business for a long time, which is creating routine tasks that are able to be completed automatically. Where AI brings a level of decision making and reasoning into that typically replaces some portion of a person's role that we've traditionally needed a thinking person in order to complete that task.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. And Garrett, thanks for having me
here
today.
Oh yeah.
But you know, and I think it's also important to note that the two coexist, you know, and they're going to continue to coexist. So, you know, automation, Brian, as you said, is that, you know, these are predefined steps or tasks that we can programmatically or systematically automate in a way that introduces efficiency. Whereas, you know, AI brings that level of decision making based on, you know, either known or unknown quantities or variables. So it's exciting and yeah, definitely worth noting that you know, we're going to continue to see them coexist.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about businesses asking about AI is it gives a chance to talk about some of the areas of automation that maybe they haven't explored in the past.
What do you think AI is creating both excitement and anxiety for business leaders right now? Is it because of the unknowns surrounding AI? Is it just hype? Are they hearing, you know, the buzzword of AI and just wanting to jump in head first? I mean, where's all the hype coming from?
I think for business leaders, there's, you know, whether it's anxiety, there's fear of not wanting to be left behind. Mm-hmm. So not wanting to miss out on
FOMO,
maybe some FOMO, not wanting to miss out on a wave. You know, I think any business leader is being, you know, certainly challenged or inquired by, you know, their board or their executive team to say, hey, how can we better leverage AI in our business? To either introduce innovation or introduce, you know, cost savings. Those are you know, going to be typically your two levers. But I think, you know, the other, you know, concern or fear is around just wanting to better understand it and the applicability of it. I know we're going to talk about that today because that's a huge unknown. You know, how can we apply AI to our business that's most meaningful and most impactful. Brian, I don't know what you're seeing.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Peter. I think on the anxiety side, is some of my data being put into a ChatGPT or used in a way that maybe I don't know about? Are my employees using AI to fulfill their job functions? And you know, I'm paying somebody to do something that maybe they're not doing anymore. Are we violating some kind of rule or, you know, potentially even ethics around the way a person, for example, in HR might be using AI to, you know, screen candidates. I think some of the anxiety comes from less of the productivity side and more of, as Peter mentioned, there's this unknown element of what could be happening in my business. And, you know, I do think the fear of being left behind, you know, I consistently hear it that, you know, we're afraid we'll be the last ones to adopt, or we're going to end up at a disadvantage because we haven't adopted AI.
So when you hear leaders, you know, in organizations saying, you know, I want to get into AI, what do you think they're truly asking?
I think they're looking for that advice of, how do I not get left behind? How do I make sure that I'm not the last one at the table saying we're bringing AI? What's often missing from that is, well, where in your business, because we as business leaders have to think about our business in terms of, you know, what are the right areas to use AI? I mentioned HR as an example. HR is not a good area to use AI because AI has natural biases. We don't want to depend on, you know, the machine reasoning and learning to make human capital decisions. But when it comes to my data and looking for insights on my data, that could be a really good area. So what I usually hear is, you know, when somebody asks that question, they're really saying, you know, where do I get started?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with that, you know, our guidance and advice to clients is going to, you know, be to really obviously better understand their business. And as Brian said, you know, what areas do we want to focus on? But I think it starts, a very natural place to start is working with the vendors and software applications that you are currently partnering with today, and understanding how they are incorporating AI into their products and platforms. If you gain some insight, you know, into that, you know, of course it's going to give you a roadmap of what features, functionality you may be able to leverage in the future, but it also gives you some insight to how a technology vendor or provider is thinking about AI or looking at AI within the products that they're providing you today.
I think that's such a great point. I think people think of, you know, we want to do AI in our business as, you know, they need to go implement something. Yeah. And the reality is they likely have partners who are already making those investments that they can leverage. And where they need to focus is maybe a little bit more the way their business operates and what areas they can leverage the tools that they might already be paying for within that environment. I think that's a really great point. We have this conception or misconception of AI because of things like ChatGPT and even Copilot to some extent, that it's really easy. You know, I just type in stuff and it gives me things back. And that's true if you need, you know, to write a poem, or you want to put something in maybe a little different format, word it differently, gather a lot of data for research that doesn't have to be super precise or maybe 100% accurate, but you're looking for directionally accurate. When it comes to integrating those concepts within our own business, the AI has to be trained on our business, and the best way to do that is through the applications and the vendors that we already partner with to run our business, whether it's our ERP, an EMR, or even, you know, SharePoint, OneDrive, the Dataverse, and Copilot.
And I think that, you know, along those lines and examples you just shared, Brian, you know, this is where we really draw the distinction of leveraging AI as a productivity gainer, not necessarily an automation job elimination tool. And, you know, a couple of good examples, when you look at Copilot, when you look at ChatGPT, you know, how can we leverage them? Well, you know, maybe we're leveraging them just to get an idea or a concept, you know, whether it's summarizing a document, that's a time saver. Doesn't replace the fact that I still need to absorb and understand, digest, marinate on the information itself and come up with my own conclusions. But it can get me there faster. Or if I plug into ChatGPT, hey, give me an idea of a structured report on, you know, something that, you know, whether it's a topic or even, you know, a business report, it can give you an example of an outline. So you're not starting from a blank piece of canvas. You know, so it gives you a little bit of an accelerator to start that project or initiative. It's not, you know, replacing a function in its entirety today.
Well, yeah, today.
I think that's a great point. Where we see AI at right now is not replacing humans doing tasks. It is a productivity multiplier, as Peter said. And, you know, transcribing meeting minutes and giving action items are great. Another great example. These are things that do have an impact. They're maybe not quite as exciting as saying, you know, we can reduce our direct labor by 30% because we're implementing AI, but they allow your good employees to be that much more productive, have a better balance, and spend their time on the most important tasks.
You both meet with quite a few clients, you know, often and have these conversations with them frequently. Do you find that there's this misconception surrounding AI versus automation, and they're using them interchangeably to some extent?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They think that, you know, AI will solve everything, but really, you know, the automation tools, like you've stated earlier, have existed for quite a long time. It's just a matter of implementing them.
Yeah, and I think AI can introduce automation.
Yep.
Right? So AI is identifying in some cases what can be automated or even how to automate it.
Right.
It's becoming that think engine to do that, right? The means to ultimately that automation end.
Yeah, and a great example is, you know, ChatGPT, write me some code that does X, Y, and Z. That code provides a level of automation that was produced by AI.
Yep.
Which traditionally, maybe I would have had to call a developer and have them do that, where now I can just go plug it in. So I think that distinction is often lost when someone says, you know, the classic, we need AI in our business.
Yeah.
A lot of times what they're thinking of is really automation, and AI can help accelerate that automation for sure.
Yep. So what do you think is the biggest barrier for entry for these organizations trying to adopt AI and trying to, you know, maybe automate some of their tasks, but, you know, also add that layer of AI on top to really intelligently analyze the data and make decisions?
I think it's the challenge that businesses have anytime they go to adopt something new, whether it's an ERP system or some automation or AI in this case. It's what is their willingness to adapt the way they think about their process and their use of technology towards the tool set versus towards the way they think it should be done. And, you know, some of the classic ERP implementation horror stories are all about, we tried to bend this ERP system to match the way we operate versus saying this ERP system's made for our industry. We can adapt what we do to fit these best practices. And and AI can be the same way. If you look at AI as the tool that could build you anything, well, it's going to be very expensive. It's going to take a long time, and it probably won't produce the best results. If you look at AI as the tool to help in the evolution of your business towards your business goals, then it can become a very powerful tool that helps you also adapt the way you operate to match what's happening. And a practical example is, the adoption of Copilot and saying, you know, I want to use Copilot in my business to help me find files and do client summaries faster. If we don't say, well, we're going to move out of file shares on servers into OneDrive and SharePoint, that becomes very hard to do. Where if we adopt now a cloud-based file system, it naturally lends itself very easily to say, I want to apply some AI to that cloud-based file system that's made to operate on that cloud-based file system.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, I think, you know, when we talk about the adoption of AI, we're talking about a change management, you know, item and challenge inside organizations. So having the people and the processes to support it and set up to support it are going to be key and critical. I think if those are set up, then you're set up to be successful.
So it's really a top-down mentality. Like, you got to get the leaders bought into the changes that you're going to be pushing through the organization. And it's really more of a cultural thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think most things are. Cybersecurity, same way.
Fair.
If the leadership doesn't believe it and it's not culturally valued, neither will automation.
Yep.
I'm going to say automation instead of AI first. Neither will automation, which ultimately then can drive you towards the use of AI, because AI is just intelligent automation of these things that brings in that reasoning and decision-making capability into an automation process.
Yeah, and I think it's critical that, you know, with that top-down approach, if the top is casting the vision of, you know, we want to explore and identify ways that AI can help grow, innovate our business, that's a great message to hear. You still need to create the culture of allowing the ideas to grow from the ground up to the organization, because it's not going to be, you know, the executive team that's going to think of all of the, you know, applications of AI. It's going to be the teams beneath them, and creating a culture where, you know, there's not fear of job replacement, right? I mean, you're truly creating that vision of, you know, how do we leverage this technology to introduce new products, new services to our customers, or in a more efficient way. And if you can be successful at that, then you can have your team supporting the business, operating the business, ultimately seed where those opportunities are and funnel them back up through the organization for approval and sponsorship and ultimately funding.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, Peter, because unless the people who the automation is going to impact are on board, it's not going to be adopted and it's not going to happen. And that's where, as business leaders, we can talk more directly and accurately about AI in terms of, you know, what we expect it to do for you as an employee around it's going to make your life easier. We want to remove these repetitive tasks. We want you doing the real work that you are hired to do, and to really make it that bandwidth multiplier for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to draw a similar analogy, it's when we talk with customers as a managed service provider, we're often talking with a director of IT, a VP of IT, and, you know, we're positioning ourselves to partner with their organization to provide a lot of the, you know, the back office IT and cybersecurity services to free them up to focus on the business, because they're in a position where they know so much about the business that, you know, let's not waste that time on keeping the lights on, so to speak. Leverage a partner that can do that, you know, more effectively, you know, maybe efficiently, so that you can focus on adding value and strategy to the business. Same is applicable in, you know, with AI. How do we leverage this technology so that we can better innovate?
I want to go back to something you said previously, Brian, which is, you know, where your workloads are located. You know, having file shares on-prem versus file shares in the cloud. Are you saying that you can't leverage AI if you have file shares on-prem? Or, you know, what are the...
Yeah, you can, and there are ways to do that. You know, our recommendation, and you know, maybe a way to answer this question is to step back a little bit to what I said before, which is, are you adopting the way AI was designed in your particular use case, was designed to operate, or are you trying to fit into the mold of the way you want to operate, or the way you've always done things? In the software development world, you know, we tell people when they ask you, well, is this possible? Well, anything's possible given enough time and money. Like, this is technology. We can do whatever you want.
Yep.
But none of us have unlimited time or unlimited money. So the question comes down to, you know, what's the best use of that time and money? And while it could be done, the best way to do it, the most efficient way that also sets you up for long-term success and other opportunities is to adopt the methods and systems and data locations that naturally support AI and were built to support AI, rather than those that are, you know, being, you know, patched in as legacy support.
Yeah, and I think to summarize and be, you know, provide even a specific example is, you know, a lot of our clients and ourselves, we, you know, we're in the Microsoft ecosystem, Microsoft 365. Storing files in OneDrive versus, you know, a file system will automatically unlock native AI capabilities that aren't going to exist otherwise. So why would you not take advantage? And that's really, you know, what we're getting at is those native capabilities. So going back to talking with your current software, you know, vendors and providers, understanding, you know, what their roadmap is for AI, how they support AI, so that you can take advantage of those capabilities you know, in the most native way possible is going to get the most bang for your buck.
So what are some practical AI use cases you've seen organizations adopt, you know, as sort of like a use case example? You know, is it document summarization? Is it data analytics? Maybe a mixture of both or even something else?
Yeah, it's both. I think some of the most practical examples maybe aren't the most exciting because they're not the things that the silver bullet kind of AI implementations that I think a lot of business folks have in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But they're things like recording meetings, summarizing meetings, creating follow-on action items. Those are the super practical, everyday force multipliers within business that we see happening. A lot. The other is around, you know, writing automation code through things like Copilot Studio to build efficient workflows in the online Microsoft ecosystem to be able to operate their business better. So whether that's, you know, an HR approval process, you know, document approval, change management, those kinds of things, all are very easily supported, as well as, you know, the movement and reporting on data automatically.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think, you know, an accelerator in low-code environments to automate tasks. So again, using AI to support automation is an area. You know, I'm not seeing or hearing of AI being used to build, you know, enterprise class, you know, software applications by any means. That could be, you know,
maybe at the individual level it is, right? But it's not
correct.
Not replacing those developers who might be using some AI to help them.
Exactly. So that's one. You know, Brian mentioned, you know, productivity within businesses. You know, another area, just because, you know, it's an area that we touch on that I see some very practical implementations on, is around service desk, help desk, ticket management software applications, in really helping agents identify and correlate various incidents as they're working with customers. Again, accelerating knowledge base articles to them based on some of the keywords that might be, you know, within a request or an incident. That's one. I think we're seeing some things in even, you know, call center technology where there's an actual voiceover, you know, component. It can pick up based on dialect. So, you know, if you are in the southern part of the country versus, you know, someone calling in from the UK, the dialects that get translated can even, you know, have a localized dialect and accent. Wow. So there's some cool technology like that that's out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how should a business go about identifying, you know, how they plan to adopt AI? What sort of questions should they be asking themselves or, you know, their coworkers to, you know, really find the right fit?
Yeah, there's really kind of two key parts of AI adoption. One is how do we adopt technology in general and bring it into our ecosystem and provide security for it and make sure that we're using it in a safe and ethical way that also protects our business. So that's one piece, and that's not really the topic for today, but it's worth mentioning that, you know, as a business, when we talk about adopting any new technology, bringing in a new system, and we need to have a process that manages us through that. So that's one. The other is then what are we, why? What's our reason for why we're adopting this new technology and where do we expect it to take us? And that's a piece that I frankly see most businesses missing. You know, I kind of mentioned this idea of it's like the silver bullet of technology now. We're going to implement AI and all of our wildest dreams are going to come true. Well, we don't even know what those dreams are. And we're starting to use something. And so we see a lot of experimenting with AI because of that, you know, things like Copilot. But it's sitting down and really developing what's our technology plan? And then how does AI help support that plan? And how does it support our growth and our business strategies? And without those strategies in place, it's very difficult to have a successful adoption of any new technology, let alone AI.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're still in such an infancy, you know, mode of AI technology and even the implementation of it. So, you know, in my view, you know, what's most important right now for organizations, especially as they're, you know, dipping the toe in the water and getting some initial exposure, is really, you know, incubate, experiment with some ideas. You know, don't go into, you know, some huge initiative figure out, you know what may work. No idea is a bad idea, right? I mean, if you come across an idea and you're able to cross it off the list, then you know it's something that you shouldn't be focusing on, and that's okay too. But really going through that, you know, in terms of an experimental phase, once you get to the point where you can actually identify some, you know, some specific areas where you can leverage AI for that innovation or for efficiency, whatever it might be, you know, those two pillars, you know, the most important, one of the most important things, and Brian hit on this, is really having some governance around the data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that data and where that data lives, and, you know, because that data is what's going to be used ultimately for, you know, AI engine, whatever it is, to make its decisions and to, you know, to create its output. So ensuring that data is safe and protected based on your governance within your organization is very important.
Okay. Let's say a business has identified a use case. What are the next steps for them to actually, you know, pushing that adoption forward or pushing that initiative forward?
I hate to say it depends, but it, you know, really does depend on where in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going back to something that I mentioned earlier, ensuring that you have people and process in place to support whatever the technology in some cases is almost secondary to these implementations, because it is a change management event. But ensuring that the people and process are aligned with what the ultimate objective is of your implementation is really that first step. And I mean, you can even go back to that beginning where I said, you know, if you're going to go with that top down approach, you know, making sure that the top is communicating to all levels, and really encouraging that, you know, that some of that thought leadership and innovation within the organization. So that would be my recommendation.
And I think, Peter, you said it well a few minutes ago. Start small. Don't go for the whole thing all at once. Choose a portion of that. Use the people and the process to guide you through that implementation. And the other is find folks that have done it before. Find a partner.
Yeah.
And leverage their expertise. It can be really easy to look at it and say we can go this alone, but you know, partner with a good consultant that can provide you with some guidance and where they've seen a use case like theirs be successful. What are some of those roadblocks? It's always good to get that outside view of, you know, what are the things that could go wrong? What are the things that could go well? What haven't we even thought of yet?
Yep.
That's a great point, Brian, because, you know, most implementations for most companies, you know, when we say, when you say, hey, we've identified, you know, a project or a use case for AI, they're likely not developing something new. They're likely deploying or implementing a technology or capability that exists within a software application.
Yep.
So, you know, having, you know, a consultant or a third party that can help you with that change management aspect of the people in the process is important if you don't feel that you can support it yourself, but also the technology implementation itself and making sure that it's configured appropriately and that you have in place, you know, the right monitoring to track ultimately the outcomes that you're after.
Yeah. And that was actually going to be my next question. I'm hearing a lot of what you guys are saying, which is, you know, a lot of these are more business driven decisions based on, you know, the outcomes they're looking to achieve. But, you know, how can they leverage a third party? You know, what do you need to leverage a third party? But it sounds like, you know, there is still value in leveraging a third party that has experience in the different AI platforms.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it like any other discipline within our business. You know, why do we do financial audits? Why do we engage third-party security providers to do assessment? We do these things because, you know, anytime we're embedded deep into something, it's easy to get that myopic view and miss the bigger picture. And so, you know, having technology partners that you can leverage within your business who are going to broaden that view. You know, I think IT people, especially technologists in general, whether they're, you know, a straight IT person, a developer, you know, we all would like to kind of build it ourselves and you know, figure this out on our own. But what we recognize is that we also have limited views of what's out there and how to do that. And so finding the right partner who doesn't take over but is able to step alongside, mm-hmm. help your internal team really own that long term, but get past that getting started part of the project and knowing what finished looks like. Because mm-hmm. those are the, yeah, the in-between isn't generally so difficult. It's how do we know when we're done?
Yep.
And how do we get started? Those are where yep. where a third party can really help and certainly accelerate the in-between as well and yep. provide some knowledge. But the last piece of this that I'd say is generally we see businesses look at their IT teams and ask them to complete initiatives that they don't have the bandwidth to do because their job yep. is in the day-to-day activities of those businesses. And a lot of those IT folks don't feel it's safe to ask for help. They view that as a, I'm saying I can't do this versus, yep. you know, or I'm unable to versus I don't have the time. And so that's where having a partnership can really accelerate that technology adoption.
You know, it's because it's not solely a technology project mm-hmm. or implementation.
Nothing is.
Nothing is. I mean, it's, you know, so it's not just a technology expertise. It's understanding the hows and the who components mm-hmm. To actually implementing the solution and ultimately the outcomes.
What do you think will separate businesses that succeed with AI from those that don't?
Yeah, it's a great question. We see it some now. Yep. I mean, I would say every business has some element of where AI could help them improve the way some part of their business operates. I mm-hmm. think that's true. Not every industry is going to be as applicable as others. Right now, I just see everyone wanting AI mm-hmm. and maybe not knowing why, like we've talked about. Some industries, customer service, the example Peter gave was excellent because those are areas where you know, AI can truly change the way customer service is done in a really meaningful way. And those are going to be the businesses that find the right use case and leverage it well that will have the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. Again, so much of what we talk about is AI just helping with some automation. We should be doing that anyway. We should yep. be looking at how do we make our businesses more efficient all the time. That's what
yep.
that's part of what our job is to do is to say, you know, how do we produce more revenue per whatever the unit cost is measure in our business.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to probably be a difference maker when it comes to AI adoption. It's where in my business model can I change the way I operate that either accelerates my differentiation and provides new ways for me to engage with my customers or dramatically changes my cost structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those that are not experimenting or exploring will be left behind.
Yeah.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that they have to jump off or jump in completely in the next month, 6 months, or a year from now. They could, you know, it's about knowing what capabilities
mm-hmm.
exist
mm-hmm.
and rewiring, frankly, our minds on how to think about how we operate, whether, yep. you know, it's growing the business, operating the business. All of those things. This is a rewiring exercise that we're going through.
Yep.
So constantly challenging, you know, these leadership teams and the broader organizations to evaluate and experiment. There will be an opportunity that presents itself where, you know, the organization will know we have to do that. Yep. We have to do that because it's going to be a step function change for our mm-hmm. business. That's who will survive.
And I think any business today who's trying to make decisions on what vendor and partnerships they make needs to be asking a new set of questions around AI roadmap for those. You know, we've talked about don't try and roll your own if you don't have to.
Yep.
And I'd say in general, none of us really have to.
Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes who are we hitching our wagon to in terms of what we expect out of AI long term?
Yep.
And those are different questions than we would have asked 5 years ago of those same vendor partnerships. And so whether it's your IT partnership, whether it's your ERP system, you know, whatever those key strategic partnerships are for your business, having those AI roadmap conversations with them of how am I going to be able to leverage AI in my business because I partner with you, those are some of the right questions to be asking now, and will also help further separate you from those who fall behind.
Yeah, that's great, guys. I really appreciate, you know, you joining me today and talking through some of these items. Yeah. I do have one final question, though, for each of you. What excites you most about the future of AI in business? And do you think that we're just now scratching the surface of what's possible?
So I'll answer the second part.
I guess
first.
It was two questions. Yeah, yeah, I apologize.
No, that's last good. Two I mean, questions. That's a sign of a good interview.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I think we're just scratching the surface. Absolutely. Yeah, sure. There's no doubt about it. What excites me the most is the unknown. You know, I think discovering all of these various implementations and the process of rewiring our brains and how we think. And I mean, this is me, this is Brian, this is you, this is everyone really having to rethink how we operate. And that's exciting, you know, I mean, because that means that we are evolving. And yeah, that's really what excites me the most.
So we are scratching the surface, 100% agree. What excites me the most is, you know, what's far beyond what we already think AI is possible of. I think most Americans, at least, think of AI as ChatGPT or the conversational, you know, GPT style. It's generally what people are talking about. There's so much more that AI can do when it comes to how we manage data. And if there's one thing that's growing in our world, it's the amount of data that we have, and seeing ways that we can leverage, you know, this data ultimately into knowledge and into difference makers in our own lives and in our businesses. That's the part of it that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, great. No wrong answer there. So appreciate you guys' time today, and you know, thank you so much, and have a great day.
All right, awesome. Thanks, Garrett.
Yep.